James chapter number 5, verse 7. So I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Be patient, therefore, brethren. Let me read that part again. Much deeper voice, though. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endured. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass withered, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. I have the title of thought, a topic tag for this message. It's very simple. It's stated in the text, as I always do. I'm staying with the text because it's stated in the text. Amen. Be patient. Tell somebody, say, be patient. Tell your other neighbor, say, be patient. Amen. So all of us have heard it from at least two people. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, things are established. So you heard it from two people, now you're hearing it from me. Be patient. Amen. This word is tailor-made this morning for some of us, and hopefully the rest of us can get and glean from what's going to come out of it. Amen. We need to learn to be patient, because a lot of things that are going on in the world today and in our own lives that we need to be patient about. When I think about patience, and you know, I always think about how sometimes we have to be patient with our children. Amen. Amen. Sometimes they don't always do what they should do when we want them to do it. How many times have you have to tell them to clean their room? And they act like you ain't never told them nothing. But you have to be patient, because one day they'll have to come clean your room. Telling you. But patience is our ability to, basically the theme of the message here, if you read the text, it is to endure and to stay focused. A lot of times we think patience is just waiting, being afflicted, and I can't do nothing, so I might as well wait. That's not real patience. That's not spiritual patience. Since you can't do nothing, you stuck here, so you're just going to wait. It's like not having a ride. You're really not patient, but you can't go nowhere. Right? You know, I learned something. I've been learning about that. When you deal with airlines all the time, you have to learn how to be patient. And I'm just talking about me for a moment, if y'all don't mind. I had a situation with a flight, and I went to talk to the guy at the desk, and he acted like I wasn't even there. The lady behind me kept saying, if I were you, he act like he don't see us, right? I'm like, it's all right. I'm keeping a smile on my face. Anyway, I had to learn how to be patient. Later on, she said, you know what? Patience played off for you, didn't it? I'm like, well, I ain't had no choice, because I couldn't go nowhere. Just the other day on Monday, I was stuck. I got caught up in that Irma, met her head to head, and ended up in Mobile, Alabama. Wasn't even where I was supposed to be. They had no rental cars. They had no hotels. They had nothing. I had to sit there for 5.5 hours just waiting. Couldn't go nowhere. So I couldn't complain. Couldn't get anxious because where I'm going to go? So I just had to wait. Now, I could have said I had patience, right? But I was really thinking, how can I get home? Instead of going where I was supposed to be going, I was thinking, forget this. But I wasn't really patient. Then I realized that the Lord is teaching me that if I can just be patient, he has things in control. Yeah. Right? And to be patient means that you endure whatever it is, but you're able to stay focused on the right things. See, I wasn't focused because I had all this other stuff going in my mind of how I can do it, how I can make it work. I was trying to call, when you're trying to call the travel agency, they got high volume of calls. Your call could be answered in 45 minutes. So you have to learn to be patient. I have to learn to be patient. We all do. And so patience is us being able to endure. And not only to just endure, but able to stay focused during the time that we have to endure. James is the writer here, and James is telling us. James, let me tell you a little about him. He is the brother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but James comes up and he says, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he opens up. James, even though he was by flesh the brother, he still said, I'm just a servant. Not only that, but James didn't really believe until Jesus died and rose from the grave. Isn't that something? But in his patience, in him waiting to see the manifestation, he found that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And he decided that now he's going to write a letter to the Hebrews, to his brothers, those in the Lord. And the things that he says to them are very profound, because first he says in verse number 7, be patient therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Now, when James says that, the first thing he does, he puts our focus on the long-term goal. Right? And so, in order for us to do what we're supposed to do now, we have to look at where we're going to be later. Right? And so, he tells us to be patient. Now, the word patience there is the word makrotheme in the Greek, which means long-suffering. It means bearing and suffering a long time. Anybody been going through something a long time? It means to be persevering. It means to be constant, to be steadfast and enduring, and it also means to never give in. In other words, I've been through something a long time, and look, James is saying that even if you go through it until the Lord comes, focus on the fact that he's going to come. If you go through it until the Lord comes, not just come in your situation, but comes at the end of the world, if you have to endure hardness as a good soldier until the day that he comes, so why not endure and keep your eyes on the prize? Too many times we focus on the here and now. Too many times we focus on what is right in front of us. And most of the time we focus on that because the devil brings it right there. He won't let us see around our mountain. He won't let us see around the mountain of trouble, the mountain of debt, the mountain of sickness. He won't allow us to see around it. And so we can't, as we say, can't see the forest for the trees. We get all mangled up, get lost in our own world because we've lost our focus. Amen. Here. Y'all still with me? James said it. He said, brethren, and notice who he's talking to. He's not talking to the sinner man. He's talking to those that are in God. And I wanted you to pay attention to this, because he says some other things in there that shouldn't be going on in the church, right? He says, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. Now, look at what he's saying here. He says the farmer has patience, and we need to take heed of the farmer's patience. What does the farmer do? The farmer has to go and he has to work the ground he wants to plant in. Many times we just think things ought to happen for us. Many times we think that just because I showed up, something ought to grow. Just because I'm here, things ought to work in my favor. It doesn't always work like that. Sometimes God, he wants you to work the ground. He wants you to break up the fallow ground. Get the roots out. Get the trees out. Get the stones out. There are some stuff in your life that you need to work out of your life in order for things to grow in your life. Do I have a witness in here? I don't know about you, but I've been thinking about what I need to get out of. What I need to pull some weeds out, some things that have grown up, some stuff that I went and left unattended that have now begun to grow up. You know how you leave something, you know, things don't just stop growing because you're not there. Oh, yeah, you got some stuff that you nurtured, some hurt that you've nurtured, some disappointment that you've nurtured, that now this stuff is grown up. You got some bitterness in your heart that you've nurtured. The Bible says bitterness is as a root. And if it has a root, that means it grow and take root, and all of a sudden it starts to grow in your heart. Y'all with me today? Maybe I'm talking to me. I'll preach to me. Y'all just watch. And Al, you know, you got to understand that there are some things that may grow in your life that you need to take care of. Some stuff that other folks, just like a stone, some other folks threw in your yard. You know how it is. They throw rocks in your yard and trash in your yard. You need to clean up because you got that garbage from somewhere else. You need to start telling people, I'm not your garbage dump. Do it look like waste management is written across my head? You don't come and dump your trash here and leave it. Because it starts to stink in my life. It starts to mess with my mind. I wish I had somebody. It starts to mess with my heart. So I need to get this stuff cleaned up. Y'all with me today? And I'm not talking about when you understand, when you see the garbage, that you need to expose the garbage, but you need to go get the garbage can liners. The reason why the garbage can liners got some tint to it, some darkness to it, so that people won't see what's in the garbage. You need to be able to take that stuff out discreetly and just get rid of it. You ain't got to broadcast that you got trash in your yard and they dumping this mess on me. Just get you a can and put it in there. Come on and say, man, take it out. It doesn't matter what's in there. The trash man don't care what's in there. He come to take it out. And I came to let you know that the trash man is here this morning. So all your stuff, gather it up so we can get this garbage out of your life. The farmer can't plant on a landfill. Y'all don't hear me. He's not going to plant on a landfill where you've been dumping garbage. He's not going to plant on that. He has to plant on some good, solid, fertile ground. You can't grow nothing in the landfill. Oh, come on and say amen. So we got to make sure we are not a landfill for somebody else. We got to get this stuff out of our life. We got to remove the roots, remove the rocks, remove all of that. And you got to work the ground. The problem is a lot of times we don't like the tilling of the ground because it hurt us. Because it's busting up our flesh. Look. Oh. It busts up what we feel like we want to do. Y'all with me today? So the farmer waits for, he says, as the farmer, look at this, he says, as the husbandman, amen, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit, the husbandman, and notice he said husbandman because the husbandman is the one that's married to this. He's put in the work, he's taking care of it, and so the Bible says that the husbandman is always the first partaker whenever the things come up. So it's good to be the husbandman of patience. Amen. He said, waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience. He has long patience. He had to wait several months before he get an increase. All right. We want it to happen today. We got a microwave mentality. My faith is microwave. And if it don't pop right quick, I'm through. Y'all with me? Yeah. If I can't warm it up and eat it, I don't want it. But the stuff that you warming up ain't good for you. Y'all with me? He says that this we have to have long patience. And a lot of times we don't have long enough patience. Our patience is not long enough because we want that Orville Redenbacher type stuff. You know, it don't take no oil. We just put it in the microwave and it'll pop up and it'll fluff up. But come on and say, man, I want some stuff you put some oil on. I want some anointed stuff. Y'all with me? He says that he has long patience until he received the early and latter rain. Now, the one thing we got to understand is that the farmer, when he plants, he knows that he's subject to the birds eating up his seed. He knows that he's subject to insect taking away all of his harvest. He knows that he's subject to not have any rain. He knows he's subject to not get what he needs for the nutrients of the growth of whatever he's planted. But guess what he does? He plants anyway. Amen. And he waits for the former and the latter, the early and the latter rain. Amen? So what does this mean? He waits. He says, I'm depending on God to send something to fertilize and to get this thing going. I'm depending on God to send a rain to germinate what I planted so that it will begin to grow. But not only am I relying on God to get it to grow, but I'm relying on God to send the latter rain so that it can develop. I wish I had somebody in here. I'm relying on God for the latter rain so he can develop my crop so that whenever it's time for the harvest, it will ripen in the latter rain. You need the latter rain so it would ripen up. And so he said, I'm depending on God to get it started, and I'm depending on God to finish it. I wish I had somebody. The Bible declares to us that he that started a good work in us is able to perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to stop taking it upon ourselves, thinking that we can do it all by ourselves. Lord, I can make it. I ain't worried about it. No, I need the Lord to rain on me. But you know the problem with many of us, that whenever we got some stuff going on, we can't stand the rain. New Edition said, can you what? Stand the rain. We can't stand the rain. We don't want it to rain, not knowing that the rain is going to help us, not knowing that the rain is going to water our seed. Y'all don't hear me. We too busy wanting the sun to shine every day. Every day, let me go outside. I want to have a good day today. But you know what? You can have a good day when it rains. The farmer don't mind it raining. We got to understand that we got to have some sunshine, and we got to
we know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
You know kids will be kids.
Oh, I don't know why they're trying to make a big deal of it. It's just a harmless rite of passage.
If she didn't want to be picked on, she shouldn't wear that thing on her head.
If he's going to dress that way, he's just asking for the extra attention.
It's just a stage. All kids face some bullying. They'll get over it.
That girl, she just brings it on herself. I don't feel bad for her at all.
It's just a stage. All kids face some. It's just a stage.
It's just a harmless rite of passage.
Don't validate. Eliminate. All students in Louisiana deserve a safe learning environment without the threat of bullying. I'm Debbie Moe, president of the Louisiana Association of Educators. It is up to us as educators, as parents, as adults to stand up on behalf of bullied students. Identify, intervene, and advocate. One caring adult can make all the difference.
Visit nea.org/bullyfree. Message from the Louisiana Association of Educators.
What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do if they find that it's true?
Hey, what's up? This is Toby Mack with news of another real-life Jesus freak.
Every year, Christians are laying down their lives for Christ. Each death is a loss and a victory. As Paul wrote in Philippians, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Still, we grieved at the voice of the martyrs when we heard that on July 1st, four gunmen pushed their way into the home of Muhammad Yusuf Bhatt and shot him to death. He was a friend and a vibrant voice, sharing Christ with Muslims in Kashmir for more than 15 years. He leaves behind a wife and three children. Will you join in prayer for the family and legacy of Muhammad Yusuf Bhatt? For more, go online to persecution.com.
Have a test. back.